Thanks for checking out the Big Brother 23 premiere coverage here on Rob Has a Podcast. The start of the Big Brother season is also a great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast because you can try it out for the entire month and cancel any time. Now, when you support our network by becoming a patron, you'll get access to two exclusive patron-only shows in our patron podcast feed for Big Brother. This season, I'll be doing The Slop on Mondays, talking about all of the nonsense in the Big Brother world. And on Fridays, we'll take calls from the patrons to talk about the new week on the BBQ&A. That's all in addition to the Patron 5 for 5 and the Survivor Top 40 Countdown Feedback shows that we've been doing already. Plus, join the Big Brother discussion in our exclusive patron Discord and patron Facebook groups as well. Now, I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like that we are in store for a really exciting Big Brother summer. I hope you'll join us for all the fun in our patron community over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron. And now, our recap of the Big Brother 23 premiere on Rob Has a Podcast. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to giggle with you all summer long. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. How much fun is this to be back for a Big Brother 23 premiere night? Such a great start to the Big Brother season. We've got a great panel here to talk about it all. So excited for this one tonight, of course. Let's welcome in a man who will be with you every step of the way through this Big Brother 23 journey. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, happy premiere night.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm glad that we chose between two options to pick Melissa and Chappelle to join us tonight.
You didn't hit the button first.
Yeah, you know, well, we did well. We did well.
Okay. Taryn, how did you think the first night went?
Genuinely, I feel like this is one of the better premieres of the show. Because here's the thing. I don't like Big Brother premieres very much. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of excitement going into them, but there's not a lot of content usually in them. It's usually a lot of like intros that don't have a lot of meat on the bone. And then maybe a little bit, but it's usually just overshadowed by like how much time is spent on stuff that we either already know or it doesn't really seem to matter and we don't really get into much. But this was live. There wasn't much to get into, but that was fine because what we got was interesting and it was fun. And on top of all of that, live feeds start tonight. So we're not going to feel like, but we don't really know anything. We don't have anything because it's coming. So this is some of the best I've felt after a premiere in a long time, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, good. A lot to unpack here tonight. Of course, very happy to have back with us here tonight the voice of the people. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here talking about Big Brother again. As much as like we sometimes are disappointed with the premieres, I'm always so excited to watch the premieres. And this was no exception. It's so great to see the house guests finally interacting with each other after we've kind of just been looking at their photos and like talking about them for so long. Now we can finally see them talk to each other. So I always love that. And honestly, this is such a good cast so far. Every single person, except for a few, were really exciting to me. And, we can get into that later. But very excited.
Okay. And then very excited to have here with us tonight to talk Big Brother 23 with us for the first time this season. Chappelle is here. Chappelle.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
What's up, Rob? I'm good. I enjoyed the episode, but I will be the bad guy and say that I didn't think it was that exciting, actually. I have my issues with this episode. I guess really what was bothering me is that there was a lot of competition and I didn't get to really know the players like I would have liked to because, you know, we didn't get a lot of preseason coverage. So I was hoping to know more about them now than I did yesterday. And I don't. So, you know, for me, they could have hit, you know, a little harder on those personal notes. But overall, I have nothing really to complain about. Just, you know, a few moments of dead air that I could have done without. But I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot to be said about the live move-in. It's exciting. But, you know, they could also move them in the afternoon and edit down some of those competitions.
I mean, it could have been an email.
It's a fair point. Yeah.
Well, I think the thing to point out here is that the bar is very low to clear here. So I think that's where a lot of for premieres at least, that's a lot of where the excitement is coming from.
I do agree though that like the competitions that they just, I mean, it's like it's enough that we have one competition on the first day, but then like they added in like they had three competitions on the first day, and I hate watching the competitions. I kind of just like zone out until it's done. So like, I mean, I did not love that. And I feel like with this whole, like it's live thing, it kind of takes away from the like excitement that you feel when you're seeing them interact with each other. Like, yes, we saw a little bit of that when they'd run inside and then they'd hug each other or say like, hi, or look at the memory wall. Like that part's exciting. But like when they go and they just like have like three competitions in a row of the same, or four in a row of the same competition, and then they have another competition to follow that, and then they have another competition to follow that, which actually doesn't mean anything because he decided not to take the deal. It's like, okay, enough competitions. Like, know your audience. The audience wants to see the house guests interact with each other. Like, that's what they want. And I don't feel like we got a lot of that.
Look, you could either have this and have a live move in and then get a week of feeds and get everything, or you can have them move in a week before the premiere and give them time to edit it down. You're getting the better deal. That you don't have this is not like a tough decision. And I don't think Frenchie had one either, but I'm sure we're going to debate that here tonight. Also, I just want to mention,
was it even live? Like, yeah. I mean, they kept having a little live thing, but then they'd have DRs.
I thought that was clever, actually. They pre-recorded the diary rooms to play over the live footage of
them
entering.
But then it like doesn't mean anything because I'm really good at competitions. I'm going to try my hardest. It's like,
ultimately, it's a perfect example of how useless the diary room sessions
are.
That they were able to literally pre-record them and play them over actual footage and it didn't seem weird. But I thought it was clever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also want to add in something new that we're going to do this season is in the past, we've asked you to tweet in your questions for the show. What we want you to do this season is we have a Google form, robhasawebsite.com/bbquestions. You can send questions in while you're watching the episode. You can send questions in as you're watching us now. And then we will have a whole list of questions to work from when we answer your questions later on in the podcast. And that's going to be the same link all season long. robhasawebsite.com/bbquestions. Okay, I guess let's start with the headlines here, and then we'll go back and talk about all of the characters that we got to meet tonight. We have our four teams. Taryn, does any particular team appear to be more dominating than any of the others?
I can't say so. I feel like in terms of, you know, our draft order, the people that we were the most excited about seeing, they're pretty spread out throughout these teams. Physically, I think that Frenchie's team is probably the only one that seems like it might be lagging a little bit, and yet the first one to win a competition. So it seems like it's pretty decently balanced here.
Chappelle or Melissa, do you feel like that any of the teams are more stacked than the others?
I mean, yes, I definitely think like the poor Jokers. I mean, yes, I know they won this competition, but like, I mean, come on. There's no question their poor team is like going to be blown out of the water at some point, unless every single one is like some sort of like mental competition. I don't know. I feel bad for them. And not only that, they get to be named the Jokers. I mean, I like tweeted about this because when they said it was going to be named after like a deck of cards or inspired by a deck of cards, I thought it's going to be like spades, like diamonds, hearts, which like makes more sense than queens, kings, aces, and then the Jokers. Like those poor Jokers. Like,
shout out Jokers Joker updates.
True,
Jokers
true.
Is a big part of the show.
I don't know. It just seems a little unfair. And then to be like, Frenchie, this is your team, and here are your options, which are basically to choose these, like, you know, outsider characters. I don't know. It just seemed, if he didn't win, I'd be like, this is rigged.
Well, but, you know, I will say that Frenchie had probably the pick that you might second guess, where I felt like that the other teams had more like physical athletes on the team. Mm-hmm. He had the choice between Derek F or Travis, and he picked Travis for his team. I said, I think he might regret the one, and maybe he might need Derek or Travis in the challenge. But then they go on and win the first challenge. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah. I mean, people have different assets that make them good at the game. You know, like Melissa was saying, there are going to be some mental competition. There are going to be competitions where you hide stuff in the house. There are going to be, can you remember this? Can you put these 5-piece puzzles together that seemingly take like 20, 30 minutes a piece? You know, like that's going to be something that you got to factor in. And so, yeah, Derek is a big guy, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a hindrance. Yeah, he's strong. He's already said he's athletic, you know. So, yeah, at first sight, maybe this team looks like it's kind of outnumbered or outmatched. But I wouldn't sleep on him too soon.
Yeah.
Frenchie doesn't seem like he's no slouch in this, and we don't know what the other ones are going to bring to the table. So, you know, I'm optimistic. But to Melissa's point about the Jokers, you know, in cards, a Joker is a good thing. You know, it's like, that's the big card. You know, in spades, you slam the big Joker, bow, that's it, you know. But... The name kind of writes itself. The hashtag writes itself. Like, look at these jokers. You know, like it's right there. So you kind of want to be the king in this. You maybe want to be the ace. Definitely want to be the queen.
Yeah.
Joker, you're like, woo, it could go either way.
I feel like with the branding, though, I feel like that the jokers are the least threatening of like the aces, the kings, and the queens. I think it's sort of like if you're trying not to be big targets in the house, I feel like being branded as the jokers, I feel like, is not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, think about it in terms of a card game where like there are different card games where different cards mean more to you in that game. And so like a card game where a seven is the best card, mentally, you start seeing sevens as the best, right? Even if a king is worthless in that game, you're like, this is a stupid king. I want a seven. And I think the same thing can happen in the Big Brother house. And it does happen in the Big Brother house all the time, not always with cards exactly, but I think it can happen with cards this time. If the Joker's team dominates the competitions, then within the house, the context of what Joker's stands for and means is going to be threatening, competition winning powerhouses, right? So I'm not too concerned about this.
Okay. I want to talk about Frenchie's big decision tonight, which had been hyped up for a long time, perhaps an offer too good to be true, where Frenchie, not only was he the first HOH, he had the opportunity to provide 2 weeks of safety for his team, but at the risk of potentially losing the HOH and then losing safety for his entire team. And so we have the chance to play this game. And I don't know how many of you are watching International Survivor South Africa this season. Feels a lot like what's going on over on Survivor Immunity Island. But you have the opportunity to sort of play or not take the risk. And so I said, I can't imagine any sane person doing this. Taryn, I've already gotten the word that you said... that you would take this deal.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about if I was in... And look, this is specific to that specific challenge that he had. But I feel like if I were in that moment, I would have looked at those, you know, those dice. And I would have looked at that table. And I would have said, that's kind of a long table. It's not that far from me. I think I can do this. And so genuinely, here's what I think I would have done. I would have gone to my team. If anybody on my team says no, I can't do it. But if they say yes... And I would also then go to Claire and say to Claire, here's the thing, Claire. If I win this, I'm still HOH. I'll keep your team safe.
Yeah.
If I lose this, you become HOH. You keep my team safe. How do you feel about that?
Your threat level at this point, even if you got the 2 weeks of safety, the entire house is watching this happen, this play out. Mm-hmm. You going and having this sidebar with all these different people.
But I might be safe for 2 weeks.
You might be.
Sometimes you have to see it.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to see it in front of you and say, "I know I can do this," and then you go. Nah.
You're just confident in your abilities. Yes, Chappelle. What do you think?
This is madness. Taryn would never take this risk, and you know why? Because Taryn is smart. Okay. This would be a dumb thing to do because if you go across that and hey, Claire, let me make a deal with you. Everybody's like, you. We haven't even got a bedroom yet, and you're already scheming and plotting, and then you could possibly not win. And just have four people, like including yourself, of course, like vulnerable. Like you're right there. You're just like, it's so easy to pick you off. All Claire has to say is you can bounce checks in a Big Brother house and boom, you're out. And you know what? Your teammates are going to throw you under the bus because they would have been safe had it not been for you. No. You don't put your neck on the line right here. You have to say, look, the lights are going to dim. The music is going to like, you know, like the crowd is roaring. Julie Chen saying random things in the background. Your palms get sweaty. You know what I'm saying? You start to throw the dice. The time is ticking down and you turn into Caitlin Herman. You know, like you can't even put together a 5-piece puzzle of yourself because the pressure is on. You don't do that. That's when you crack and you become a meme and we laugh at you for years and years to come. That's when you become Caitlin. That's when you become LaJuan. You don't do this.
So we actually are curious to know from the listeners who are want to weigh in on this on our Instagram at RHAP Grams. We have a poll up right now. We're going to give you the results at the end of the show and let you know what people are saying right now in terms of would you have taken the double or nothing or done what Frenchie did? Melissa, do you have thoughts on this?
I would definitely not have taken it. I think that it's. No, it just doesn't make sense. And we've seen what safety can do to a player. I mean, look at Netta. I mean, she immediately was taken out. So not for me.
Yeah. Dogs don't like it either. But this was the craziest part of it. So I thought this was like a no-brainer. It looked like the Frenchie was going to say no from as soon as Julie says, don't tell us yet. We got to go to commercial. Think about it. And then when we come back, we'll hear from Frenchie. And of course, he said no. But then Julie Chen Moonves says, well, what about just for fun? Why don't you just try it for fun? Taryn, how did he not take those dice and throw them as far as he could onto the other side of the backyard? Why would he then complete the task and then put it out there like, you idiot, you moron, you should have taken this deal. We could have been safe for 2 weeks, you idiot.
Yeah, I said you throw that every day of the week. There's no chance that you want to get that be successful at that because there's no benefit and it's all downside. It makes you look like you made the wrong choice. Makes you look like more of a threat. There's no real reason to successfully complete this, but you have to make it look like you're trying.
I thought that's what he was doing, and then ultimately that he gets it done. Chappelle, right? How do you not throw this?
You got to throw it here. I mean, I don't know what you thought the best case scenario was, but I do love that Julie gave him the option because she's like, we got like 4 minutes left. Go ahead and try it. Because now people are going to start to question you. Like, was it a bad decision for you to pass? If we are, you know, like if we're not safe next week, well, you could have kept us safe. Look at you. You got to go. You know, like there, it builds drama, but it also kind of entices other people to give it a try. Like if Frenchie could do this dice thing, then I can do the next, you know, whatever wager we have. But again, the pressure was off. There's no clock. There's no stakes at this point. So yeah, you can do it right now, but can you do it when the pressure's on and the crowd is watching? No. And so you just throw it. Just throw it. Nobody cares that you made the dice land right there. It's not going to help you at all.
Melissa, what do we think of Frenchie so far?
A good competition threat. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing. Like, you know, moving forward, it kind of puts an easy target on your back. But so far, I mean, I liked his introduction. You know, I felt like that with a lot of people, especially like someone like Hannah or someone that we didn't really see very much of. I really enjoyed seeing, you know, it all comes down to why didn't we see any interviews, like long form interviews this year? I was shocked. I feel like normally we get so much content and this year we really didn't have anything to go off of. So it was really interesting to see some of the people who we didn't really get to know very well. I mean, like I found out that Kyland was a fan of the show and I found out that like you know, Alyssa is like an actual fan of the show. I feel like some of these people, you know, they say, I'm a fan. And then it all comes down to it. They've like seen a few episodes, but like some of these people, I mean, it seems most of the people who are cast are fans of the show, actual fans. And so, you know, I think casting did a really great job this year. Even watching all the little intro packages, I feel like most of the time it's like, I'm in there for showmance. I'm going to show, like, I love the summer and being in my bikini. And it's like this year we actually got everybody being like, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to compete. And here's why I'm going to win. Here's these impressive things about me. Except for, to be honest, a few people, I think I was not very impressed with Christian. I think that he's only ever mentioned that he has like long hair and blue eyes. And it's like, okay, but and like, what else
could ride a unicycle.
Yep.
Melissa,
I don't know. I don't know. I guess It didn't get me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was not super impressed with him, I gotta say. I kept thinking like there was gonna be something more there, and there really wasn't. And I feel like Travis, on the other hand, did show us that there was a little something more. Yeah, sure, like in his little roulette video, he's like, I just want to have my shirt off. But like in his intro video, we talked about being a salesperson and being a people person and all that sort of stuff. It made me wonder, honestly, like if they picked specific phrases and things for them to say during their little roulettes, because I felt like some people were just like super bland, like super just like, I'm single and ready to mingle or whatever. And some people were like, you know, giving full on details about themselves. So I don't know. Yeah. I did like the roulette thing. Yeah, I liked getting to know them a little more.
Let's talk about the mechanics of the draft and how they did it. Taryn, okay, well, we saw the draft in Big Brother 14 here. We had a very specific order, which seemed like based on the groups in which they entered the house and when they won their competitions. It wasn't a snake draft, so Claire didn't get to do two picks in a row. There was a very clear, you get this or that for each person. Do you have any thoughts on how they did the quote-unquote slot machine, which implies it was random, and I assume that it wasn't.
Yes, I assume that it wasn't as well. But I kind of liked it. For as much as I like having the sort of schoolyard pick, I feel like 75% of the time we get a schoolyard pick, the teams end up uneven. The players themselves do not really know how to always pick the best people for their team. And sometimes the producers do know a little bit better. And so this was a way for them to put their thumb on the scale while still giving the house guests some level of choice. And on top of that, I thought it was more interesting to watch than most schoolyard picks or whatever, any kind of team draw. We didn't get like, no, not that one, the other one. But we got to see like, okay, this person or this person. And I got to be like, okay, which one are they going to choose? And like, which one is going to feel like, oh, I was chosen specifically over this other person, or this other person was specifically chosen over me. I thought it was better to watch. And I feel like it resulted in better teams. So I liked it.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings here. So here's what I'm thinking. So I like what Melissa said, where she was wondering if they picked which clips they're going to show. But I think the longer you were in, the more of the clips they used. And so you got more information. So it's kind of like the clips were on shuffle. So some of them were just like, I'm Melissa. I'm a fashion designer. And then that was it, you know. And then some of them was like, they didn't even say their name, because it's like halfway through the paragraph and they're just like, I'm a single mom. And they're like, oh, I was like, okay, which one do I pick? You know, so they didn't get to really choose that. Cause then I saw like, I'm picking on Tiffany right now, but the next time she came up, she's like, I'm Tiffany and I'm, you know, 40. So it's kind of like the longer she was there, the more information they had about her, but they didn't get to pick and choose which portion of it seemed like the video that played.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird to me, but
I agree. I think it was crazy that why don't we just show everybody, hey, I'm like, I'm so-and-so, this is my job and my age. And then everybody should get the same information. Like, why do some people like, oh, here's my yearbook quote.
Yeah.
And then when they come back around, I feel like you don't need to say anything else. Like, you've already been seen, like they know who you are now, you know, move on. You can just pick from the photos once you've already been through one round. Like, I think it's kind of weird that they gave some facts for some people and some people just their name. And like, I don't know, it was a little odd that way. But
And I do think that, you know, you have people who are lying about their occupation, which also sort of muddies it also. But like, we did see Xavier's fake occupation for this. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they must have known the exercise. Otherwise, he would have said like his real occupation if he was doing something that he thought was for press. So it would have been interesting to get a little bit more knowledge about that. Chappelle, what else were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, to Taryn's point, is like, it was fun to watch, but also I did enjoy, you know, kind of seeing them faced with mixing up the teams or else, right? It was like Big Brother said, you want diversity, you're going to get diversity. Here you go. Like, here are two black people. You have to pick one. There will be no, what is it? The committee, the Caucasians. There will be none of that. There will be none of that. You're going to pick one of these black people. You're going to pick one of these women. You have to change it up. I'm sorry, you asked for diversity here, damn. You know, so I was very happy to see that, but the optics are bad. It's kind of like, white lady, which one of the blacks do you want this time? You know, and so for me, it was mixed bag, but it starts off rough. When you're trying to make equity happen and inclusion happen, things, you gotta bang out, you know, the details, and this is the right track. So I won't complain about this, but I did think it was funny and I laughed hella hard.
Well, I'm sure didn't want to have happen is a Cook Island situation. So that may have been another reason why they wanted to put their thumbs on the scale.
Exactly. Like, I like South Africa, I pick you. You're like, oh, okay. You know, like, it was weird, but I didn't hate it.
So let's talk through a couple of the interesting decisions. I already brought up Frenchie having the choice between Travis or Derek F. I think that one of the big early ones were we saw that Christian had to pick between Alyssa or Tiffany. Was that the right pick?
I think it was for Christian the pick that was easiest. That was I was trying to predict them. That was the easiest call I made. Yeah. I mean, was it the right call for him? Probably not, to be honest. I feel like you know, if he's gonna click with Alyssa, he doesn't need to be on her team. But Tiffany is somebody that he could form a bond with by having chosen her early, and that he might not have otherwise had. And so I feel like that may have been. But again, you never really know like how this is going to come into play and how people are going to perform. But I will say, Tiffany overall, I was impressed by her physicality. She talked about being very physically fit. I think that's really good. And I'm excited about the possibility of her being a contender in these competitions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other of the selections really stand out?
Well, I didn't really fault Christian too much for that pick because, again, like what Melissa was saying, when you have your options laid out, like, I'm Alyssa and I'm, you know, whatever years old and I'm a fashion designer. And then Tiffany says, I'm a single mom of a teenager. So it's like, maybe Christian is thinking like, what am I going to talk to her about? Like, what do we have in common? Well, let me pick somebody, gravitate towards somebody more similar to me in that aspect. So I didn't hate it for him because of the packaging, right? Like, had we gotten more information about Alyssa, then maybe he would have said, oh, Alyssa's this versus this. But all we had was her age versus something, you know, very personal about Tiffany. And so maybe he just wasn't able to relate to it. So I didn't hate it too bad. But none of the picks really stood out to me as like a WTF moment.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think it speaks to the strength of the cast in terms of like, we don't have that many duds around to say like, why did you pick that person? What's that? Like, everybody seems to have their own strengths that they bring to the table. Taryn, do you have any sort of a sense of how this first week is going to work with the live move in terms of when nominations will happen?
You know, typically how it would work is that nominations would happen on Friday because the HOH competition would happen on Thursday. So there's no episode tomorrow night. The HOH has already been crowned. I'm going to guess they probably stick with a similar schedule and they're going to have a day of buffer, an extra day before nominations. Nominations would probably happen on Friday still. And then that wild card competition over the weekend.
Okay.
As well as the veto.
And then I know that Mike Bloom had the breakdown on the last B&B. Could you just walk through on Sunday night, which is there's no Thursday night episode of Big Brother this week, that we are off tomorrow night from Big Brother and then back on Sunday night. The wild card competition, what is that going to determine?
Right. And I'm remembering now that the wild card competition probably has something to do with people being safe from nominations. So that would probably happen before nominations, probably like the safety suite, I think, was on Friday before noms. We might see something similar for the wildcard competition. But I believe it's something along the lines of, if you win the wildcard competition, you will have the option to, keep yourself safe, or you'll have some sort of choice presented to you. It's not entirely clear to me exactly what it's going to be, but if it's anything like the choice that was given to Frenchie here, I'm kind of for it. I'm kind of excited about the possibility of these sort of risk versus reward dilemmas.
What do you think about the idea of that you have the opportunity to either be safe yourself for 2 weeks or protect your whole team for 1 week?
Yeah, I feel like there has to be some of that, because I thought that was what Julie was going to present Frenchie with. I thought it was going to be, do you want to like double your prize money or be safe for a couple of weeks, but you leave your team vulnerable? We didn't get that now, but I have to imagine it's coming, especially, in these early weeks where, these bonds are just forming now.
Okay. And of course, we'll find out more about that as we get to the Sunday night episode. Another big piece of news happened tonight. We found out that Big Brother 23, these contestants will be playing for the most money in Big Brother history. The Big Brother prize money is going up to $750,000.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. This is like the long overdue raise. And, and like you finally get it and it's like, I mean, I got it, yes, but I was kind of hoping for a little bit more. But I guess I got to live with it. I guess I got to be happy with it, because at least it's something, right? Yeah. I've got to say, when they were teasing this earlier in the day, the biggest prize money, I thought it would be like Big Brother 6, where it was like, you have the possibility to win $1 million. I was not expecting full on all of them competing for 750. I was definitely not expecting a permanent raise, a permanent bump in pay for Big Brother winners.
Well, who said it was permanent?
It feels permanent to me. It feels like she was saying, after this amount of time, we're raising the prize money, and it should be $1 million, but I'm happy it's at least something.
I thought the same thing. I totally thought that it was like, if your team makes it to the final four or something like that, like then you get the money. Or it was like, we're going to raise it to $1 million, but like every week a person has the opportunity to like take some of that prize money from some sort of competition or something. And I'm so glad it's not that, because like, I just think you can add that in if you want, but I think we definitely need to raise the prize money for Big Brother. I mean, that's how you attract quality applicants. Yes, like we still are getting some quality applicants, thank God. But like, I do think that like part of the reason why people go for Survivor over Big Brother is number one, you know, the time commitment, and number two, the prize. So I think it should be $1 million at least, but you know, 750, we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, so adjusted for inflation, $750,000 is about what the prize money was in the first season of Big Brother 21 years ago. So they've really just like, all right, let's get it back to what
it
was.
I'm shocked that they didn't do this earlier. I mean, like, we've been saying this every year that like $500,000, like, that's not that much to be competing for like 90 days or whatever. Like, that's a long time to be away from your job and your life and your family and your everything. Like, it should be more than that at this point, but
I mean, with the money they spent on All Stars, they spent more money last year. They spent probably, I think, over $1 million last year, giving each player $40,000 plus the prize pool. So they're still getting off cheaper than they did last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope. We're not letting them off the hook this easy, Big Brother. I had the lowest expectation. I am not like these people, like $1 million. What? No, I know Big Brother. The Big Brother that I know, that I love, that I've been protecting my peace from since like what, BB15? This show costs roughly $11.52 per season to produce, okay? They were legit giving people like bags of raw oatmeal and calling it slop for 20 seasons. And so like the first three seasons, what, five seasons? Was it peanut butter? Like Big Brother got the money. They got the money. So it's like, when I saw this, I was like, man, they ain't finna give them nothing. They finna give us crumbs. And you know what, Julie Chen, I ain't mad at you. Give us the bare minimum. Yes. Give us the, do the least, ma'am. Because you know what? Y'all not finna get $1 million to lay up in the house, boot up all summer like Nicole Franzel. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, if you getting $1 million, you better go get out on that island and deal with these crabs and these bugs and all this other stuff. This is a house. Like, no. At least, look,
if they don't charge them rent
to Canada, right? Move to Canada where they're giving out $20 gift cards and George Foreman grills for their big brother winners. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, I love hearing y'all talk about it because look, this is, I never thought Big Brother was going to do this. You know, when people argue about raising the minimum wage, that's what we're doing right now. Like, man, minimum wage sure has been $7 for a long time. What if they raise it to 10? People are like, oh God, $10. Oh my God. It's like, well, yeah, 40 years ago, $10 was a good amount of money for minimum wage. You could go to the to the movie and get a pop and some popcorn and a candy bar and see two matinees. But it's 2021. Either give these people real money or keep it on the playground. Big Brother, you did all right.
Okay. All right. We also got a new look for the show. I feel like that switched the background behind Julie Chen to dark mode, Taryn.
Yes, so we're sort of neon, like cyberpunk aesthetic going on, which I guess is part of the beach house theme.
Monte Carlo.
I guess it's a weird combination of beach house and casino. Mm-hmm. And that equals, neon cyberpunk. So
yeah, that looked good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
We should have Run It Up Reno at the beach next time.
Come to San Diego.
All right. let's talk about the cast. We got to meet these 16 players and spend some more time with them. And so I'd love to sort of just like go through them real quick and talk about, who did we like more after tonight and who maybe not as much. First group, they're going to open the show with Travis. Travis goes number one, Big Brother. I thought that was a curious move that they can't wait to show us Travis.
Need to have the eye candy,
I guess. So he's up at 4 a.m what a wheeler and dealer
interfacing with CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not impressive, Rob. 4 a.m in Hawaii is like 10 p.m everywhere else, you know, like he's waking up and we're like, oh man, it's been a long day at work. So I peeped, but I wasn't shocked that they started off with him, and it wasn't a bad intro. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. But I just like this 23-year-old guy is on like all of these, like he's a CEO of a company. Like, what world is this?
Well, we didn't have any bio, so I couldn't do my deep dive like I wanted to.
He got really good grades at business.
Like, what is this company?
Look, he went to UT Business School. It's a fine school. Don't come for me. But I ain't never seen nobody do this rise to fame.
Sure,
that
quickly, but he graduated college a year ago, and he's this entrepreneur. Yes,
is it business school that he graduated from, or college with a business like degree? Because like I couldn't tell what it was.
No, it was a college, but he was in the College of Business, so his business degree, I believe, is how
business
it went.
Is college, and the college is business.
Yeah,
that's my business. Of college and college is the business.
Yes, it's grades for business. And
right.
Business.
Yeah, Melissa.
He does business. Okay.
You had Derek as your last pick in the draft the other night. How are you feeling about Derek?
Did I have Derek? I had Travis. Right.
Travis. I meant Travis.
Okay, I just got so confused and I was like,
sorry,
who are we speaking about?
Sorry.
No.
I looked ahead in my notes. Too many Derricks.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, because there's two Derricks too. And I was like, did I really take one of the Derricks and I don't remember this? I feel fine about Travis. I mean, honestly, at first I was a little upset because I was kind of like, I was going to take like Christian or Sarah, and instead I have Travis. But, you know, that's fine. Now I'm kind of glad, because after seeing Christian's like thing, I'm not really sure what he's got to offer just yet. I feel like all I know about him, like I said, is the hair and the eyes, and I don't really know what that means. So at least Travis, I do feel like, is trying, and he talks about like putting on a different persona for different people, and that he's like, you know, I think he is playing up this like surfer bro thing, whereas I also think he's smart. So my hope is that he can kind of fly under the radar and, you know, be outwardly this, you know, just nice, lovable guy, and then kind of under the radar be strategic. So that's my hope for him. I'm not totally like thrown off by anything he said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, probably his worst moment came when he was up on the slot machine, and then he said that he wanted to lay in the bed all day, and then Whitney ended up not picking him.
Well, I mean, y'all want to give him $1 million to do that, so, you know, whatever. But
she said he was cute.
So, yeah,
you know.
She did. Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't pick which one she, you know, which one she heard. Had she heard, like, I'm Travis and I'm 25, you know, she probably was like, okay.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm a 23-year-old CEO. I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm working the phones.
Right. And she's like, get in line. And then she turns around and he's Ozzy, you know, mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think Melissa's right. I think he's playing this up. There are no beaches in Austin. I mean, there are, but it's not. This ain't Hawaii, okay? You ain't surfing out there. So this is the middle of Texas, okay? So he's not that engraved and engulfed in this like surfer boy image. You know, he's a smart guy. He's probably
Chappelle,
just like
he spearfishes for his food.
I saw that.
Will somebody feed again this man? What is he on Redemption Island? Well, why does he need to spearfish for his food?
Yeah. Again, I think these were casting choices. He's going to be on What's My Archetype next time with Hannah Shapiro.
Yeah. Okay. Then we got to see Derek F. And this was more of the same from Derek F. Very fun.
I thought it was very, very fun that they went the Rocky theme.
Yeah.
Going up the steps, going all in on the Philly thing. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I feel like he's going to be really entertaining and just like fun and funny. And yeah, I get really good vibes from him. Hopefully that's true.
Oh,
I like him. You know, I like that he's shady. You know, he said his dad is the greatest fighter from PA. You know, I was like, is that shade to Rocky? Because I was like, you don't just throw that in there. He's like, my dad is the greatest fighter in the history of Pennsylvania. Stares at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about real people here.
Yes.
You know, so I'm thinking there was some shade there. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, Derek F, like, he is who we thought he was. Like, you know, he came across, you know, this fun in all of his interviews. And that's who we got in his bio tonight. Then we got to meet Frenchie, who is going to go on to be the first HOH. Frenchie tells us how he's a super fan. Taryn, Frenchie has a notebook. What would you give Taryn to read Frenchie's notebook?
I'm not going to read that.
Well, maybe it's the live feed notes for a season.
No, it was everything that he would have done different.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the people on the show. I'm good.
Yeah. And Frenchie is a liar because he tells us in his bio, he says, hey, got to make big moves. Why not risk the biscuit? Which I think that's not how, with the right. I don't think you say it that way.
Yeah, well, that's basically what he did. He risked nothing.
Yeah, you risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah, that's what the rhyme is. That's what the rhyme is. Not
risk it to get the biscuit.
Like, why not risk the biscuit? Yeah.
And when he was presented with the opportunity to risk said biscuit, he did not.
I will keep my biscuits.
I would like my biscuit, please. Thank you.
Some things are more important than the game.
All right. Those things
are biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn, can we please talk about that? Taryn, how long have these people been sequestered and how bad does this man want to see his family?
About 2 weeks, probably, or so. You know.
If he thought that was hard, wait until he gets into the house. Like, gosh.
But I feel like Frenchie, almost all these things he's doing are calculated. That seemed to me the way that he could have said no. He's, oh, no. I'm playing for my family. It's too much. Whether it's for America or it's for the other house guests. That felt like that Chappelle, he was like, you know, trying to get a point across.
Oh, yeah. I saw straight through it. I was like, look, Frenchie, we get it, you know, but like we're at home. So we get the luxury of like analyzing this guy. We know that he's a super fan. We know all this stuff. Maybe the people in the house will be snowed by that. And maybe it's a good move. But, you know, like it just landed on a little thick. Did you miss your family that much in 2 weeks when you're going to be there for, I don't know, roughly 100 days maybe? So maybe, you know, don't get into the like the I'm the homesick guy very quickly. But, you know, I don't hate it. If it works, go with it.
Yeah. And then we also got to see Xavier. He is a lawyer. We found out about his history playing basketball, but he tore his ACL, that he is single and going to avoid the showmance. But we found out that he will giggle with you.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rob, isn't that what you do when you're like, you know, you're trying to avoid showmancing? You just, instead you're like, look, I'm married. But we can do a giggle.
I've actually never said that. I hope that's not the vibe I'm putting out there, because I think that is my wife is a very strict. She barely tolerates me giggling with her.
This is anti-giggling stance from the wife.
Yeah, we do not have that flexible of a relationship where I can be out there giggling with other people.
I'm gonna keep an eye on you, Rob, during podcasts. No giggling.
Okay, Melissa, what'd you think of Xavier tonight?
I thought he was good. I thought that his idea of saying he was a bartender who models a little is probably a good idea. And I think it's believable, especially the modeling part. You know, I think that he seems like a smart guy. And so far, I like what he's going to, or I'm excited to see what he's going to do. The only thing is that I am a little, you know, nervous for him, because he does kind of stand out as this like athletic guy. And, you know, I'm worried that people might automatically just be like, okay, he's a physical threat, get him out. And I hope that's not the case, because I really want him to stick around. I want to see what he's going to do. I just am really excited that we finally have an attorney on the cast. So, you know, I want him to stay around longer than, you know, first boot. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, any other thoughts on Xavier?
No, I just echo what Melissa's saying. You know, I think it is smart. If you look like that, you say you're a model, and you know, people might leave you alone. And I think history has shown us that physical threats are often not targeted early in the game. And with these twists, you know, where it's a team effort, if I have to choose between losing Frenchie or someone who is less athletic, someone who's less athletic, then I'm going to save him, because we might need him to win the team, you know, competition next week, you know, maybe. So maybe that'll keep him safe. I don't know. I mean, like I said earlier, there are pros and cons to keeping everybody. But I mean, when you're standing up to, he's like a huge guy standing up to somebody smaller, it's easy to say, well, I mean, I can win the next one, and then that might buy him some safety.
Yeah, Taryn, I actually think it's noteworthy to bring up, at least from his pregame press, I do believe that Frenchie did distinctly say that he wants to target alpha males in the house. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Or at least the guys in the house?
Yes. And in addition to that, this is not Survivor, where, you know, if you're on a tribe and you're going to be good at competitions, then the tribe might have incentive to keep you around. This is Big Brother. And in Big Brother, everybody is voting all the time. And so the incentives are kind of reversed. It's going to be the other teams deciding which of your team goes home. So that's actually, I think, a bad thing for players like Xavier, who, if he shows that he's very good at these competitions, the other three teams are in control of who goes home from that team. That team has no say in who goes. They don't have enough votes. Mm-hmm. So I think these physical threats are a little bit more likely to be targeted in the current situation, unless they all come together and agree that they shouldn't target each other, which is what they should probably do. Seems unlikely at this point, given that Frenchie is the HOH. And there's not a lot of incentive for him to keep these bigger guys around, for now at least.
Okay. Something to watch moving forward this week. Let's talk about Asa, who is going to be also safe for the week, as she's part of the Jokers. We got to see a little bit more of the backstory that she talked about in her bio, about her great grandfather was a polygamist, and she has 300 cousins. And we got a little bit more of that story. Her father is one of 47 children.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And Asa, that she is also a big fan of the game, but also she says she is going into the house with a rule. She has one rule about her time here in the house.
But I'm a little bit boy crazy, just a little tiny bit. So made a rule in the house. No penis. Nothing.
Nothing.
No penis.
We'll see. I was really surprised they aired that.
This has me interested, Rob, because
really?
She says no penis. It's like, okay, well, that leaves some wiggle room, right? Some giggle room.
Yes, go on.
But then she says nothing. No penis, nothing. Does that include giggles? I don't know.
So giggle play is off the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay.
I think when they put that sound effect in there, they were like, okay, this is safe for TV.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes.
Fun. As long as you're giggling, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe Lana from Too Hot to Handle could recruit Asa to come in and follow the rules.
But I'm a little bit boy crazy, just a little tiny bit. So made a rule in the house, no penis, okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
Boing. You got to keep that boing on the sound on the soundboard forever, you know. But I love Asa.
No penis.
The afro is yes. Perfect. I mean, perfection. I aspire this. Yeah, just queen everything. Like, I'm so happy she's safe. Oh my gosh. I'm just so happy she's safe. I was like worried about her because I only have one draft going and she's my pick. So I'm riding to die for Asa.
Yeah.
I really like her too. I liked her even more so, I feel like, after watching her little intro package. Not that I didn't like her before, but I felt like when I saw the Us Weekly stuff, I was a little like, I don't know about her. Like, let's see. And then the intro package is like, oh, yep, I like her.
Okay. Let's talk about Brittany, who I think was also one of the big stars from the packages. First off, we got to see her in action as a black belt with karate. But I think that the headline here is, I believe this is the first time that we found out that Brittany is autistic. And I know that was a big storyline last season with Ian Terry in the house. And she wants to show that she can, that's not going to hold her back in the season. So, Taryn, what did you think of Brittany?
You know, nothing else surprised me. I think she was exactly what I was expecting. She just has, a confidence to her, that she is just like okay with like voicing her thoughts, right? And she was kind of narrating the walk through the house. She was very excited, very happy to be there. I think that, you know, seeing her interact with other people, my hope is that her overall sort of positivity and like just general, like just good vibes will help her and help sort of like integrate her with the house guests.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Brittany?
Well, I feel like I liked her more watching her in the intro package in the episode than I did during her Us Weekly interview. I feel like some people really did not come off well for me in that Us Weekly interview. And I feel like I liked her a lot more watching her just like interacting with people than I did before. And also I had no idea about the karate thing. So I really did not know that she was like athletic. Mm-hmm. Also, I liked that she was in athletic gear because she was like ready to go and ready to compete. So I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see like Rachel Riley upside, not the downside, not those like, you know, crying in the DR over a guy like that part.
That is the upside.
No. I'm talking about the person who comes in with all like all the enthusiasm. They are like winning the comps and yelling at people. And they are so like outwardly confident that people just hate it. It's driving them crazy because she's good at everything. Girl was a double major. She's a black belt, like fourth degree, something or other. Like she's doing it all. And, you know, like, I feel like we could get the drama that we want from her because she sits down in the diary room and the first thing she says is, let's play. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody else is like, oh, I love the Big Brother house. It's so funny. And she's like, no, let me vote somebody out. You know, like, I like that. Like, give me that aggression. I want to see some gameplay. Let's go. So yeah. I like this. I like this from her a lot.
Brittany also is going to be safe as part of Team Joker, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we also have Alyssa. Alyssa is a swimsuit designer. I was actually pretty impressed with Alyssa's operation. I mean, I don't know if they sort of like ever like fake some of these things, shenanigans to make them seem more impressive. But Chappelle, she's in an office. I mean, there were seemed like that there was bathing suits around.
I'll tell you that in an intro package, they faked the whole thing because I know that my friend was on The Bachelor and they had her like work in some random person's like corner office, even though she was like an intern. So that way it looked like she was like, you know, this high power executive and really like, no, that was not her office. She was just like using a random phone like, hello.
Are you telling me that wasn't her boat?
I don't know.
I'm devastated.
Yeah. Wait, but they really find the key though, right?
I did hear that for the key, they like tell them, oh, we're just here to like film all the finalists, like intro packages. Mm-hmm. Like that's all. And then they like actually put the key there. And that, so they are
gets
surprised
them every
like,
time.
Cause everyone's like, well, how are you surprised when you know a camera crew's there filming you? Like, what do you think is happening? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you not expect to find a key? But like, apparently they tell them, oh, it's just like a final part of the interview. Like, we're just going to film you at your house or whatever. And then they find the key and it's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Shenanigans. These people are not surprised. They know exactly what's going on here. And I'm sorry. This is my boring person of the season so far. I was just like, oh, Alyssa, that's a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were off to somebody else. So yeah. I'm hoping that she brings more. She gives me that energy of, who was that really boring woman from a few seasons ago? Sis? What they call her?
Yes.
Sis? Yeah. She gave me like just there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she can loosen up a little bit. I'm just saying she just seemed a little reserved. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm sure she's a nice lady. I'm sure she's going to bring some action, but I would like to see it.
Okay. We have Whitney also, who we got a lot about Whitney being the single mom, been a single mom for 5 years. She's a freelance hair and makeup company person. She is also has horrible taste in men. And we heard a story about a bad date.
I went on a first date with a guy and he had me feel his calf implant.
Chappelle, what's the point of getting calf implants if you're going to tell people you have implants?
I mean, people with fake other things tell you they're fake sometimes. You know, I feel like you should be open about certain things.
I'm really just impressed with the craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
he sprung for the extra good feeling package, and he's like,
look at these babies. Like, yeah, check these out. You know, like, I just got them last week, and they come with the extended warranty. You know, so if I did it, look, I've been very clear on these podcasts. You know, Kyle from the challenge, he has those big, huge, fake white teeth. I want those. I want those, and I want everybody to know that those big, huge cheeklets are mine. Like, and that I bought them, and I paid for them, and I got good money for them. So, yeah, I don't blame them. I don't know if I would do that on a first date. You know, like, hey, I like your calves. Yeah, I just got them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These calves, just bought them. You know, like, I don't know if I would do that.
I would not have picked Whitney to be one of the four people who was going to solve the puzzle and become one of the captains tonight. So good for Whitney for showing that she's able to do a mental challenge.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from Whitney. I think we'll be pleasantly surprised.
All right.
I don't want to diminish her win, right? But there were a lot of people very clearly throwing these challenges. And I want to say Whitney was one of those challenges where I thought everybody was throwing it and she just didn't get the memo. Because she seemed very excited to win this challenge that everybody was just kind of standing around for. It took a very long time.
So she went the rounds with Asa, Brittany, Alyssa, and herself. I thought Brittany seemed like she was really going for it.
It wouldn't surprise me. We know Asa threw it. and then who knows about it? I think Alyssa was one of the people who said, like,
she would never throw a competition.
Yeah. Unless it made sense. But why would it? Mm-hmm. So I don't think she was necessarily throwing it either, but I did notice that there was a distinct lack of sort of hustle going on with the first two rounds, at least. I feel like there was a bit more in the second two rounds.
Okay. Let's talk about Kylan and Melissa. Famously, the other night, you gave us a epic rant about Kylan and his movie watching, but as I've come to understand from Twitter, you've had a little bit of an epiphany on Kylan.
I don't know if it's so much of an epiphany, but I have a mutual friend, which I did not know that I had, and they have informed me that he is a huge fan of the show and has been obsessed for years. So I do feel better about him in that way. And also, like, the more I've seen of him, I like more, and I feel like he's more intelligent than he originally came off to me, just like in terms of his movie you know, prowess or non-prowess.
Keyboard warrior. Talking trash until, he's got a... I know him.
I might meet him one day.
I like your seven Oscar movies.
You watched 20 movies in 20 years.
Thinking about it, it is pretty impressive. I'm impressed.
You saw the Hurt Locker.
I stand by my comments. However, you know, I would like some clarity from Mike Bloom as to whether, like, that is something that he brought up on his own, or if Mike Bloom was like,
"Oh, now we're interested in the excuses of who said what, when I was drafted,
how many have you seen?" You know, like I wonder if it was a Mike Bloom thing, or if this was, you know,
Certainly, no potential acquaintance of mine would actually say that. Surely, it must have been a mistake.
I swear. I stand by my statements about the, you know, lack
of alleged statements that may or may not have been said.
Yeah. It's like, I thought Melissa was going to say, I talked to my friend and she knows him and he actually has seen more movies than just The Hurt Locker and The Blind Side in the last 20 years.
There has been no justice for that. I have not changed my tune on the movie thing, but I may have changed my tune on whether or not he actually knows the show, because that is something I did not think. I thought he did not know the show at all. So I will, you know, go for that, but not the movie thing. No.
All right. Let's talk about Christian, who I think probably had the worst night out of anybody that we got to meet. Chappelle, is that fair to say?
I mean, it didn't go great. You know, his team dropped the puzzle. So who's to blame for this? I think, Taryn, you probably were watching really closely on this one. So they had to hold it level. He stacked them and then he runs away, but then it fell before he got there. So is this his fault or their fault?
I can't imagine it's his fault. You know, they're holding it. It felt like sabotage to me. I did not see whose fault it was, but he ran, he did what, two or three times he finished that thing. And in the very fast, like short amount of time that he had to get to that buzzer, it happened to fall each time.
Let's talk about the potential culprits. If sabotage is, because I mean, the thing is, like, it didn't seem that hard to hold it up. It wasn't like, you know, it's a challenge where something is like very heavy, unless the middle part was extremely heavy. So the people on Christian's team was the aforementioned Alyssa, who would not throw a challenge. I think Xavier is on that team. And then Sarah Beth, did she become the last person for that?
I've seen people say both that either Sarah Beth messed up, they saw her arm moving, or maybe she did it on purpose, or that maybe Xavier threw it potentially on purpose. But
what would be the benefit of if your team was about to be safe and the person who picked you was going to be HOH? Chappelle, you don't think that this is plausible?
I don't see the benefit, honestly, because you can go from like being safe for a whole week, which, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but that first week where you can just like make bonds and force people to come to your side, it's so important. So it's like you could be safe, but instead you could potentially be on slop. Like that doesn't sound like a good exchange. I don't know why anybody would take that risk. I would love to find out that someone did take that risk because that's the kind of mess I like to see.
Yeah.
That's some Devin bro mess. Like I want to see that.
That would be wild. Like where,
yeah, but did it? I don't think it's plausible. I think they just messed up. You know?
Yeah. Because if this was last season, we said, like who has a pregame alliance with who didn't want this person to be in power? Okay. It might make sense. Now, that being said, Taryn, we haven't found out who knows each other yet from this cast.
Not yet, but I'm sure we will.
Well, it's a few people from the same city, right? Like Taryn, you were saying somebody's from Baltimore, somebody's from DC or something like that. Aza and who else?
So I think Derek X might have grown up in Baltimore or something.
Okay.
They said Baltimore and then like Baltimore, she wasn't actually in Baltimore. She was like in a different, you know, subs. And it was the same thing for another person. They just like consolidated and said, oh, you're from this city, even though they said a different one.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about Derek X. We found out that Derek X did not have a lot of friends. He joined a fraternity, got rid of his glasses, and look at him now. Another person running a company told his parents he's going to come back with the money.
I loved this intro from Derek.
His intro package was really good.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna come home with the money or not at all.
Yeah, it was.
And he's like,
fun.
I guess I'll never see you. Maybe I'll never see you guys again.
Yeah, and his parents are like, well, bye, because don't come back without the money. Yeah. Like, shoot.
And he talked about getting rid of his transition glasses. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, great. George Foreman grills for me, please. Yeah.
His parents are going to be really mad when they find out that they raised the money and he doesn't come back with it. Then that's going to be...
better win.
Yeah, he better win. A lot of pressure on Derek X. Anything else to add about Derek X?
He was my number one pick, and nothing I saw here made me feel any different. I felt very good about, he was funny, he was personable, he seems to have a good energy to him, so yeah. I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I think there might be a little more to talk about with Brent Champagne, who was somebody who, I don't know if we really had a great read on from his bios, but we got a lot in his package in terms of being the international man of mystery, Chappelle.
Why you come to me?
You're making a grimace. Like
That was not a grimace. I was smiling. Like
That was not a smile.
Smile like this.
That
is a
was
smile.
You're on a flight and somebody's eating an egg smiling. Salad sandwich next Stop to you, it. And you're saying, "Excuse me, Brent, like, Champagne, can you come here?"
I'm like, I love egg salad sandwiches. No, like seriously. Okay, I didn't love Brent here just because. Aren't y'all tired of Cody Calafiore? Like, dang, are y'all not tired? I'm tired, y'all. Like, every year, Cody, Corey, Brent Champagne. Like, okay, yeah, like, come on, man. Like, please bring something to the table because you, like, grinning at everybody, at all the women and winking your way to the end like Cody did twice. I'm like, I've seen it before. Tell me something exciting about you. Not just like, I love traveling and all the beautiful people I've seen. Wink, like... Oh, just do something else. Like I'm like poking. I'm like, do something. Move.
See, I thought it was very clever the way that he sort of subtly inserted like the idea of like, oh, you know, I'm not going to just, you know, do one handed cartwheels all over the place. People would be way too intimidated by it. Like, you know, getting it in there that Obviously he can do a one handed cartwheel, but that he won't be doing it. So just so that we know in case that we're wondering. So I thought that was very, you know, very clever of him. And I just feel like he's, you know, he seems very impressive overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, sure. I feel really less good about him, honestly. I felt decent about him during his Us Weekly interview because I thought that like he was very different than what I was expecting from him, and it turns out no, he's just like how I initially expected, and it's not great. I feel like I don't know anything about him other than like he thinks he's like super charming and that he's a flight attendant and thinks that that makes him super worldly and like that, like he's some like we should all be like lucky to get to know him. I don't know. I felt like I got bad vibes from his intro package, and it's possible that he was just trying to like play up this like persona and maybe he'll be totally different in the house. But I just like, I was not super thrilled. Honestly, mm-hmm. I was kind of disappointed because when I saw his Us Weekly stuff, I was like, okay, wait. Who's this guy? This seems interesting. And now I'm kind of just like, oh, well, yeah. Great. You know,
I agree. And I don't think this is a mark on him. I just think we've seen this story before, like exactly. 8 times in a row, twice with the same two pairs of people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like we've done this already. Mm-hmm. Like there gotta be more to you than like, hey, babe.
Yeah.
Point. Like it gotta be more than
that. He can say screw like, you, like but with a smile, Chappelle.
Okay. You know, like, thank you, sir. I don't know
he
what you want.
He can speak
like,
Italian a little bit. Fettuccine,
yeah, like
ravioli,
I'm sure. Yeah,
spaghetti. Look,
I could say all those things. Mm-hmm. I don't look. I'm just saying, if you're going to be this person, this archetype, give me more. Don't be boring, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Sarah Beth, the chemist for the state of Florida. She is an accomplished seamstress. She loves to sew. She was doing some costumes. Taryn, was I supposed to know what any of those costumes were?
I didn't.
Yeah.
She was like, I get to dress up as my favorite character.
Yeah. I'm like, well, what character is that?
And I feel like there's a chance I would have known at least one of them. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not completely illiterate when it comes to, you know, anime culture. So I didn't catch any of them though.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe they were original characters.
See, this is the reason why I have an issue with the show being so heavy on competition this premiere. You know, like I came out the gates and like, you know, it took out a lot of time. But when this person is talking about their interests, she really got into weeds on like, I like to cosplay and I like to sew. And then like when she was the roulette machine was going, it said, I'm Sarah and I like to sew. And I'm like, okay, at the end of episode one, an hour and a half, we know Sarah likes to sew. And I'm like, had we seen them like, you know, doing the champagne toast and like the Brent champagne toast and like running from room to room, finding a bed and then talking about women's alliances on day one, only to just sell each other down the river, you know, the next day. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm used to from Big Brother premieres. Not to say that they're better, but then you get that context of what these people actually think about each other in the game, where all we know about Sarah Beth is that she can sew and that she does not look threatening. And I like that part. I like that she called that out. You know, Andy Heron famously said that, like, do I look like a threat? You know, and then he goes and just dominates his season. So, you know, maybe we'll get that from Sarah, but we have no reason to believe we will.
Okay. All right.
I want to ask my brother what, you know, what those costumes were, because he's a big anime fan. Also, like, so the whole voice actress thing, that's like her cover story, right? But like, I'm assuming she probably does a little voice work on the side or something. And that's why she's going to be able to say that that's like her occupation.
I have to imagine.
It sounds like she has done voice work. I don't know what.
If you went on Big Brother, would you say you were a voice actor?
I couldn't talk really about my occupation as
voice actor or bartender. You got to choose one.
Couldn't say that I would podcast because they'd say like, "What do you podcast about?" I'm like, "Oh, Big Brother." So yeah, can't do that. I'd probably have to say I was like a voice actress. I don't know. It's so yeah. That,
you podcast
that's
a tough one. About
I don't think I could lie about my career. Maybe I would say I was just a student. Like, I don't know. I can't pull that off anymore. I used to be able to just say, oh, just say I'm a student. Now I'm like too old, but yeah.
Melissa, you don't look old though. You can pull it off.
Yeah, I'll just tell everyone I'm 25.
Taryn got halfway through casting this time. I'm sure he could put you down. Just get your fake occupation ready. I podcast
I was
about
in sequester. I was ready to go.
Right. Yeah. Justice for Taryn.
Taryn, what was your fake occupation? Or did you say you podcast about something else?
I said that I was, I was
bartender.
An editor. Got the boot. Yeah.
An editor. You just say you're a video editor. Boom, done.
I couldn't think of something funny. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
That's why you got replaced. Now we're stuck with Travis.
Thanks, Taryn. Okay.
It's on my phone.
Let's talk about Hannah, who we were a little bit of an unknown going in. We didn't get to see her on the videos from Us Weekly. I thought she makes a good impression that she's a graduate master's student. She loves school. And Chappelle, people call her Doogie Howser.
I don't know the fake smile again.
Mm-hmm.
I love Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. I really loved her. I loved now that we finally got to see something of her.
I know. And for people who don't know why Chappelle's grimacing, that Chappelle's famously not a Neil Patrick Harris fan.
He's just the worst of the three named celebrities. Like if you had to do a tier list, he's like in the bottom tier, Benham. But yeah, I mean, I like Hannah. She seems cool. I think she's another person who didn't benefit from the roulette machine.
Yeah.
Because I think when the roulette machine spun around, it just said something like, I'm Hannah, I'm a student. And I'm like, but there's so much more to her, you know, that like if she was able to give like an intro package for them to make the decision, or maybe if they did like first impressions, then, oh yeah, it said, I'm Hannah, I'm a fashion student. That's what it was. Next to Aza, who said like, I'm from Cameroon and I have all these cousins, you know, like it just made her seem kind of bland.
Yeah.
When she's like super intelligent and you don't want to be last picked in a lot of these situations where your intro matters, you end up being like Glenn, you know? So you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, their schoolyard pick kind of leaves you hanging.
Okay.
See, I just need to quickly go
back to Neil Patrick Harris, because as far as I'm aware, he is the only three named celebrity to have entered the Big Brother house. So I think on these BB streets, what you're saying is sacrilege.
I said what I said. Okay. I said what I said.
All I want to say is that like for these intro videos, I wonder like what the prompt was, because I feel like that could influence things, whether it was like, tell us a little about yourself, or like, give us an interesting fact about yourself, or like talk about how you're going to do in the house or something. Cause I feel like those are different things where I would give different answers, where if they're just like, tell us a little about yourself, I'd be like, well, I'm Melissa, and like, you know, very basic information. But I felt like some of them were like, okay, like, tell us an interesting fact about yourself. I don't know. And also, like, I wouldn't really want to give away a lot because I'd be like, well, I don't know what these exactly are being used for. I don't know if they said, like, they're picking teams via these videos or what, because I probably would feel uncomfortable giving away, like, anything about, like, that could reveal something about my strategy, or I'd probably try and keep mine as, like, bland as possible.
Yeah.
And then it makes it look like, oh, so you have nothing to say about yourself. But, like, I don't think that's the case.
If I had to guess, I suspect the producers prompted them with what first impression do you want to give the other house guests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they probably said, like, give us three facts.
Mm-hmm. And then people like Hannah, she's going to play down the fact that she graduated early and that she's super smart. And she ended up going, I'm a fashion student and I travel, you know, like, and that's the same thing we were saying about, was it Christian? Who's just like, I'm hot. I got long hair, you know, like, tell us about you so that I can pick you. But if you don't, then I'm just like, oh, you're boring. Bye. And then just go on to the next person. That's how he got passed over. So nah, I don't love that. But Hannah seems cool. I like her.
All right, let's talk about Claire, who, if you just watched our preview video for the season and then came back today, and you said, wait, who's Claire? Claire was a last minute casting switch. Christy, who was in the cast, she had to leave. She had a positive COVID test. They brought in Claire, who was an alternate. She's an artificial intelligence engineer. She's a coder. She loves strategy. She wants an all-girls alliance. And here she is. She's one of our four captains. And perfectly, Melissa, she's the captain of the Queens.
It fits. It fits. Honestly, I thought it was, I feel like the intro video was shot like very last minute, I feel, because like, they're like, why don't you like walk across this little ledge and pretend that you're like balancing? Like, it was just very basic, weird stuff that she was just told to do in a park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you type a little bit for us? Yeah, that's great.
And let's put a screen on there that says passcode or whatever. It's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I like when she's like, I'm a strategist, rolls dice. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much strategy involved in Yahtzee.
Hey, look, it almost got Frenchie 2 weeks of safety, Chappelle.
And he picked the wrong move. like you say no to the deal, but you also throw, you know, the fake deal.
Mm-hmm.
Frenchie, come on, man.
Yeah.
But Claire is somebody who we should all be like looking forward to because she's in like the reality game, you know, or community or whatever. I think the fans are like very excited to see her. They're pumped. You wonder why Claire was like a second option here, but we love to see her do well because she kind of represents the, you know, the people who are out here trying to play the game at home, you know, trying to make their Big Brother dreams come true. So I'm excited to see her. And I'm hoping that she does well. Big Brother house scares the hell out of me. I would never go in this house because you go in with a plan and then you come out and people hate you and you don't know why. And so I'm hoping that she's able to, you know, come in. It's one of those, would you rather win and be loved? I mean, win and lose and be loved or whatever the heck it is. I'm like, yes, lose and be
loved.
Would
you rather lose the game and be loved or win and be hated?
Davon me every day. Yeah. I would love to be Davon. I want to lose 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, but stand me to the heavens and the hills. And so I'm hoping that Claire can win the game and be loved. It's just really hard to do in Big Brother.
Where does the mosquito come in?
I thought it was a rat now. Do you want to fight a giant rat?
Well, how about this? Yeah, that's different. The mosquito, like Tiffany, will come in and draw blood. And Tiffany is the final person that we got to meet. CEO of her own mobile phlebotomy lab. She is a single mom. She walks cats. And she's not worried about being an older player because, Taryn, she hits tires with sledgehammers.
I mean, classic image of an athlete, really. Do they have a sledgehammer in their hands? And more importantly, are they hitting a tire with it?
Yeah, she is. And I thought that Tiffany had one of the best intro packages out of anybody in the entire cast. And she was somebody who her bio was a little bit like, is there anything? Is not a lot there.
Yeah.
I like how they kept in her disciplining her son.
Yes, I love that. I love
her son, whose name is Christian.
Yes. Whoa. Yes.
Connection.
Sign of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tiffany. Hit me with a sledgehammer, please.
Yes. I saw the tweets. Yes.
Yeah. hi. Tell Tiffany I said hi. Just, I hope she listens to this. Hi. Hi, Tiffany.
Yes. Hi, Tiffany. Yes. I hope you're listening to this very far in the future. Anyway,
yes.
Definitely a risk taker. There was an awkward moment when the second group of women came in. Julie Chen Moonves asked, okay, so who here is a risk taker? And no one raised their hand.
Who here is a gambler?
Crickets. Yeah. No one. Not a person.
Well, it's also like, it was one of those situations where it was like, did she ask us a question? Like, what is she saying? Mm-hmm. Like, are we supposed to respond? I'm not sure. Because they were probably told, like, do not speak to each other. And so they were probably just like, wait.
Yeah.
What
are we doing?
Yeah. Julie's like, you can talk. I swear, you can talk. And they're like, no, lady, we expect the unexpected here. You're not going to. The first one to talk is the first, you know, half not of the season. Like, nah, yeah. Julie, I ain't saying nothing until we get to the slot machine.
Yeah.
Who's a gambler? Yeah. Oh, you are? Well, good news, because you're about to roll some dice. We've got some more alternates out back.
I like how they're like, who's a gambler? And they're just like, are you a gambler? They're like, no. And she's like, oh.
Well.
Okay, well, you're going to need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, in general, the tepid responses to all potential, like, twists in the game. That's how you know they're fans. Because every time Julie said anything, they were like, mm-hmm. And even as she said, like, the prize money was going up, they were still like.
Like, but. For what though?
Really? Yeah, so was I though. Like, yeah, I was sitting there just like, okay, what? But where's what's the
we've been hurt.
Yeah,
we've
like,
been
what
hurt.
Does this mean?
Protect your peace. Mm-hmm. Protect your peace. Yes. Don't let them lie to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
To close the show, Julie gave us another catchphrase to close it out.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves, and remember to always exercise empathy and wisdom.
Empathy and wisdom.
My problem with this is that I don't remember her saying this the first time. She starts, she says, remember, as though she's already told me, but I feel like she hasn't told me. And now I'm feeling like, hold on.
I think she's like, implanting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you like acting like this has been said to me before by you specifically, but even by anybody, I guess. But like, why are you the one saying, remember, what am I remembering?
I think she's telling you, get a pen, write this down. Always practice.
Yeah, like make notes.
Like wisdom and empathy. For the future.
Okay, yes. So like remember this.
Especially if you're on Twitter, Chappelle. The wisdom and empathy will go a long way.
Yeah, like, whatever. Whatever. Look, y'all obviously did not check out Julie Chen's Etsy shop after last season, like I suggested. If you didn't get the word of the day calendar and the phrase of the day calendar, then that's on you.
Okay.
Sorry. Sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny. Sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny. What else do you want from me?
Yeah. Okay. Let's bring in some questions and the results of our poll. So we asked our listeners a couple of questions. How much did you enjoy the Big Brother premiere? Here, out of 402 people, I mean, that slider is pretty far over. What do you say? That's like 85-90%? Yeah.
Yeah, the praise
looks hands. Like, yeah, looks those like hands look happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raising
pretty,
the roof.
Pretty happy people who watched the Big Brother premiere. So good good job. Taryn. Yeah.
Taryn. Taryn, stop it. We don't do that right here.
Yeah, Taryn isn't allowed to raise the roof.
Would you have done the double or nothing? We asked the audience. And 89% of people said, hell no. No, we would not.
You 11 percenters.
Yeah, 11% were with Taryn. They would have done the double or nothing.
We're doing.
So we'll try to do more of those polls as we go along here on the season over on Instagram. Let's take some questions from the listeners and see how this goes. Here is a question from Cool Mel. Why is there so much age discrimination towards older house guests? I mean, they haven't fared well. Like, would you say, is there like any? Are the house guests discriminating towards them?
Well, I think it's a combination of the competitions tending to be very physical, and so
I mean, Jerry made it to the final three.
Very true. Mm-hmm. But competitions really matter. And so you need to win competitions to really win a lot of respect most of the time in the house. And if people perceive you to not be capable of winning competitions, that's, you're going to have that extra uphill battle. In addition to that, you are often a solo person. If there were like 10 40-year-olds and in 5 20-year-olds, we'd see a completely different situation. But when there's only one 40-year-old, then they are the ones that are on the outside, and they're going to have a hard time relating to the people who are a lot more similar in age. There are a lot of things that work against them.
Okay. Let's try this one from Sean. Which house guests have you changed your mind on the most since the preseason impressions? Okay. I know we've gone through everybody here so far. Does anybody else stand out as somebody who you have a radically different view about?
I think I have a different view on Hannah, because I feel like I didn't get to know her at all. So I thought she was just going to be like, you know, one of the people who come in, don't really care, just like hang out for the summer. And I was very pleased to see that she's really smart and she's like in it to win it. And I'm really excited to see her play. So, you know, that was a good surprise. And then, yeah, like finding out Kylan is actually like really into movies. Like, I'm so proud of him. Like, I think he really has watched a lot of movies and, you know, like all good things. So.
Sure. Any of the standouts? Yeah. That's a TV show.
For me, Tiffany, ever since I saw her in the first video in the preseason, she has impressed me. And then even more so in the episode. Yes. I'm very happy. And we learned that she is a huge fan of the show, which I did not know previously. So that's another huge point in her favor in my books.
Okay.
Yeah, just make sure you just call me for the exit interview. I just want to say hi. That's all I want to do. I just want to say hi.
All right.
Yeah.
So
she wins hour 7:50.
Yes. You got it. Here is from Addison, who says, would it not be way easier to take all the pieces out and align them on the ground before putting them back for the opening competition? Now, we saw it play out 4 times, so that might be a little easier to say as you're sitting watching it at home. But in terms of doing that puzzle, Taryn, would that be the right way to go?
Yeah, and that's what we saw Christian do. And I think it's important to note, though, that the third and fourth rounds, they were briefed on what the competition was prior to going out there. So they had more time to think about what they might do. Now, obviously, they hadn't seen it, but they had been briefed enough to know what to do when they saw it so that they wouldn't have to explain it live for like the third and fourth time. So that's, I think, why, you know, the third and fourth rounds were... had a bit more hustle and they seemed to know what they were doing a bit more. I think they had a little bit more time to prepare their thoughts about what they would do. And we saw Christian take them all out, figure them out, put them in. And that's definitely the best strategy. Weirdly, though, the rest of the house guests got to watch. And him being the first one to do that, especially without the context of like thinking about like, oh, well, they maybe have more time to think about it. I think it made him look even more impressive / threatening to be the first one to do that and then complete that puzzle like multiple times in the final round only to be let down by his team. I think that Christian probably stands out as a very, very capable competition threat. Mm-hmm. And that may not be a good thing for him.
Yeah, I could certainly see a scenario where Christian is going to touch the block this week, especially after it looks like, oh boy, that Christian was really carrying his team. That they were letting him down. If you take out Christian this week, that team will never beat us in the individual competitions.
This is our chance.
Or yeah, this is our shot. So we'll see. Okay, let's take another question. Brittany says, so the live move-in was definitely fake, right? The house guests seemed really unenthused when they first entered the house. Like, were they pretending to be excited? So
I thought they seemed really enthused.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone was really excited, like even more so than like you would expect. I don't know.
Well,
maybe it was fake, but I, you know, they're like, wow, look at these, this table place setting.
The diary rooms, I think, were jarring in terms of like, wait, is this live? Wait, well, how are we getting the diary rooms? What are we doing? And I guess they just like knew like, hey, we need some B-roll to show as they're walking through the house because that'll be very boring. And so we have something to cut to as they're walking through the house.
Yeah. And I don't think it was unenthusiasm. I think it was more like an ominous feeling because in a normal situation, you know, we have like run in and find your bed and look at this room and look at this room. This time it was like stand in the dining room and then walk outside. So they're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't like that. I don't like that they do that. Like, it's like, I like the idea of like, go run through the house, find your bed, like talk to each other, get to know each other first, and then do a competition. I feel like it's like, I hate when they just like automatically are like, okay, no, keep on moving, go to the backyard, do your competition first, and then talk to each other. While like the other house guests are like standing on the balcony, like waving like, hi, but they're not like allowed to speak to each other. It's weird. I like it better when they were talking to each other.
Chappelle, was that the Dr. Will balcony?
Man, I almost forgot about Dr. Will, like, you know, being super laminated and looking all shiny and stuff and handsome on that balcony. You know, Dr. Will, he's very, you know, plasticky, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. But he's got like, you know, like those eyes that Christian has, you could just like put them in Dr. Will and he'd be like a full fledged like android at that point, because those are some like creepy, beautiful eyes.
Yeah. Well, maybe like, Claire was responsible for building Dr. Will.
Probably. Or creating Survivor Michigan. I don't know.
Yeah. Or Taryn.
I think Claire's a little young to have created Dr. Green
Wires.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do a couple more questions. This is from Lisa. Does Claire know she was an alternate? Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
I think she's like about Claire, you got 3 days to get ready. Like, what? You got 3 days. Like, hey, get off the plane. Wait, what? What do you mean? Like, no, just get off the plane really quickly.
No, you gotta do this fast. Okay, walk through this park with these pretend friends of yours.
Yeah.
It's like handlers, pretend to be your friends.
In the past, the alternates have known that they were alternates.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. This is from Kira. I love Claire, but my biggest worry is that will she play too hard like Shannon Elizabeth? Okay.
Greatest player of all time.
The greatest player of all time. Is it possible that Claire could be an overplayer?
I feel like she'll know not to be. At least that's my hope, is that like because she knows the show and she like is such a big fan that, and she's seen people flame out like that who are big fans, I think maybe she'll try and like tone it down a little. I mean, that's the hope.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that she said that she's not concerned about being in a showmance. In fact, she feels like showmances often help a player's game because they do. As long as you don't get mentally, you know, unfocused, it can really benefit you in the game. And the fact that she knew that, I think, is very promising.
Okay. Then Tyler Jackson says, do you still feel good about your draft picks? Okay. Taryn, you still feel good about your team?
I feel very good about Derek X. I feel even better about Hannah than I did. Now, the more I've learned about Hannah, the better I feel about her. Alyssa, I'm still kind of unsure on. I just don't have enough information.
Melissa? I feel good about my team.
Yeah,
I still feel good. I mean, like, we don't really have that much information to go off of yet. So I feel like nothing that has happened has been so jarring or so shocking that would change my opinion of any of the people that we talked about the other day. So,
the audience, you have Frenchie. You have to be feeling good about your new HOH. I feel very strong about my team that I drafted. I had Asa, and then Tiffany and Brittany were my picks that people were like, really? Tiffany? Really? Brittany?
Really, Tiffany?
Yeah. Feel good. Feel good after the premiere. All right. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy says, do you think that we should be able to hear what the house guests are saying to each other during that first comp? Look, Jeremy.
We're asking a lot here.
Yeah, you're asking a lot.
Here's the thing, and here's why I don't mind that this isn't the typical formula. We're going to get all of that in the Sunday episode. We're going to get them toasting the champagne and the full walking in, and anything important happened when they were introducing themselves. And in the meantime, we got feeds.
Okay.
Yeah, we all get right. Feeds tonight.
Feeds are the important thing.
Yes,
really.
Yes. Okay. Feeds are coming up in about an hour or so after the West Coast airing, of course. We've got a lot of coverage coming your way tomorrow morning about all that. And a great segue to talk about here's tomorrow morning. What's coming up? All right.
Live feed update. First one of the season.
First one of the season.
Yes.
All right. Taryn, before we get to talking about the live feed update, anything else from tonight?
Honestly, every step of the way, I felt like they were making decisions that made sense to me. And I'm used to them making decisions that don't make sense to me. I felt like the puzzle wasn't the easiest thing to follow in the world, but it still worked well enough. I really liked the choice of the team challenge, because that challenge was all about the weakest, you're only as strong as your weakest player. And in a newly formed team, I like the idea that it gives you opportunities to fail your team. Mm-hmm. And you know, it gives the people, the team captains, an opportunity to be heroes. So it was a well thought out challenge for that specific you know, situation, and it was a challenge that anybody could win. It was not overly physical. It was not overly anything. It was something that was very even, had a very even playing field. I felt like the competitions were solid through here. Obviously, not as much the case last season. I felt like they improved on the previous season's live premiere in almost every way. Almost like they actually listened to some of the criticism and changed things because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Good. I agree completely. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up, of course, tomorrow morning. It all gets started. Live feeds come on. By the way, robiswebsite.com/livefeeds is the link you can use to get access to the live feeds now on Paramount Plus. Okay. Taryn is going to be live with Chantel Francis tomorrow morning on Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Taryn, all right. Are you ready to go? What's your ritual?
The ritual
for the first night.
The ritual will be that I will be live on Twitch in about an hour or so when the feeds strike up, and I'll be watching for as long as I can before I pass out and then wake up incredibly tired and prepare for the first update of the season, which is bound to be very interesting and messy at the same time, because we're not going to know much still, but it'll be interesting and fun to try and parse it all out.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Taryn, how when you're watching the feeds, how like, what's the probability that when the feeds cut on, what's the lady who looks like Olivia Pope? Whitney? Yeah. What white Olivia Pope? Yeah. What are the odds that she is in a showman's? Because it sounds like she wants one. She's raring to go. What do you think, Taryn? Are you going to be like updating us tomorrow saying like, well, there's already people, you know, it's a bed hopping, you know, like, what do you think?
Wow.
I mean, in a normal season where they've been in the house for a week or, you know, 5 days, the feeds can absolutely open up on, you know, two people in bed together, a la, you know, Cody and Jessica. You know, they're going to have had 3 hours. So I'm going to guess that's a no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then that's going to be Thursday. Coming up on Friday, it's going to be the premiere of a brand new podcast that we are adding to our Patreon podcast feed. I will be live with Taryn Armstrong for something they were calling the BB Q&A. Call in. We'll take your video calls live, and you can talk about the week ahead coming up in the Big Brother house. We're going to be doing that at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, coming up on Friday. And that is going to be something that is exclusively for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. We do that every Friday, so be on the lookout for that. You get the chance to call in and ask your questions about whatever's going on in the world of Big Brother, and should be a newsy day as we get closer to nominations. Maybe we'll have the wild card competition. Plenty to talk about there on Friday. Of course, our weekly schedule, there is no Big Brother this week on Thursday, but we will be back with a recap on Sunday night, and we will continue that all season long. Recaps Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays after the episodes. Be sure to join Taryn and Melissa for the BB Roundtable on Tuesday nights. Live feed updates every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then I will also be with you on Mondays for The Slop. And that is going to be another patron exclusive this season. Very excited to talking about all of the nonsense that happens in the world of Big Brother, whether it's in the Big Brother 23 house or from the Big Brother alumni on social media. We'll talk about it all every week on The Slop. And of course, that's going to be in the patron podcast feed this season. Last night, I talked about the 13th best season of Survivor. Survivor Borneo went just under 5 hours talking about the first season of Survivor with David Bloomberg and Mel Hulst. You can check that out as well. And then, of course, we talked about Hell's Kitchen last week. Had a lot of fun on the podcast. But this week on the RHAP Rewind, Melissa Denny will join us for the Joe Schmo Show.
I'm very excited for this.
Look, and I know it says on here we're going to watch season 1, episode 3, but I'm ready to talk about the whole first season.
Let's do it.
It's very fast.
Did you watch it all?
I've watched 4 episodes since we talked the other night.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I really like the first half of what I've seen, and so we'll see what happens in the back half. But I'm very excited to talk about it tomorrow.
If anyone hasn't seen it and wants to, like, it's so quick.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Like 8 episodes or something. It's on YouTube. You can watch it in literally a night, which is what I did the other day as my rewatch. I've already seen it. I saw it when it aired. But, you know, you can really quickly watch it, the whole thing, and then listen to the podcast. Very exciting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Me and Melissa both wore yellow to promote Joe Schmo Yellow, you know. So tomorrow it's going to be a blast when we record. And then we'll finish out July the rest of the month with some other Joe shows. Rob, I'm very excited.
Yeah, July on the RJP Rewind. Be on the lookout for that. Of course, we've got so much going on over in our Patreon podcast feed. On Thursday as well, I will be doing our Survivor Top 40 feedback show that I do for the patrons every single week as part of the Top 40 Countdown. Patron 5 for 5 also coming on Thursday. You can get everything in our patron podcast feed, plus all the community features that we have in our patron Facebook group, our patron Discord, all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, you can check out all of the sponsors of Rob Has a Podcast anytime at robhasawebsite.com/offers with lots of coupon codes and the different links that our sponsors have for you. And then, of course, if you're watching us here on YouTube or Twitch, you want to subscribe and make sure that you hit the bell to stay notified whenever we're going to go live. Especially, you don't want to miss any of Taryn's live feed updates all season long. When those are starting, you will be notified. And of course, follow us on social media. It's at Rob's a Podcast on Twitter, at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Thank you so much, Scott St. Pierre, for all of that. All right, Melissa, I know you're going to be back with us tomorrow to talk on the RHAP Rewind. What else is going on for you, Melissa?
Just this, really. I, you know, I'm very excited to get the season of Big Brother started. And yeah, so that's about it.
Okay, great to have the voice of the people back with us, as always. Chappelle, what's next for you?
Rob, you know what I do. I just hang around until you call.
Yeah.
But this last couple weeks has been eventful. I just recorded the finale of Too Hot to Handle with Kirsten and Jenny Autumn, and it was amazing. There should be an NSFW warning at the beginning of it because it was wild.
If
you watch the show, you should expect it.
If you watch the show was NSFW.
Exactly. And so we had a good time. So yeah, I'm just hanging out, recording podcasts whenever you guys will have me. Thank you so much for inviting me on today.
Okay, Chappelle, great to have you here for the premiere. And then Taryn, we know where you're gonna be.
Yes, again, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be live for the start of the live feeds, night one live feeds. It's gonna be very fun. So yeah, make sure you check it out.
Okay, well, Taryn, great to have you back. Yes, Chappelle?
Oh, I was going to say you can find me on Twitter. What are you talking about, Rob?
I thought everybody followed you already.
Nobody follows me. Look at how many followers Taryn has. I want to be like Taryn when I grow up. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. CHAPPELLS_show. And then follow Melissa, too, with 3 A's.
Yes.
Yeah, follow me, too. It's Melissa with 3 A's.
Yes. Okay. Taryn, are you getting settled in finally in San Diego?
Not quite. I just have a slightly better makeshift setup at the moment.
Okay. Day by day. It's coming along. All right. So thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. This was so much fun to be back talking Big Brother with you all. We will be back with our next live show here for you after the Sunday night episode of Big Brother. So look for us then. Everybody, take care. Have a great rest of your week. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.